Hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp. And before the Dollars and Cents show gets started here, I just wanted to remind you and let you know that I'm not doing this alone. The Dollars and Cents show is part of a radio network, the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. It's a bunch of podcasters who are all homeschoolers podcasting about their lives and homeschooling. So I wanted to let you know to go over to Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network and look at such great shows like Homeschooling Co-op Style or Homeschooling in Real Life with Fletch and Kendra. They're a lot of fun to listen to. The Homeschool Sanity Show. Don't you think that sounds like a fun one? We've got my friend Mary Jo Tate doing a program called Flourish at Home. And Helen Melanie Young are talking about making biblical family life practical. Israel Wayne's going to start a podcast here soon. We've got other shows like the Finish Well team, which talks to teenagers, and Dr. Woody Wilson, who talks about the Constitution. Oh, there's just almost too many to mention and more coming up. So if any of those sound interesting to you, go ahead and check out the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.
Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp, the Dollars and Cents Show. This is episode number 22. This is the fourth part of a four-part podcast series on career exploration for high school students. In the first few episodes, the first three parts, episodes 19, 20, and 21, I talked about how can you know God's will when you're only 17, the whole idea of a career exploration process that you go through. And in the second part, episode number 20, I shared with you many personality tests that can help you discern what you're good at, and then careers that might be tied to that, how you're built, things that fit with your personality, both quite a few free personality tests you can find online and some that cost a little bit of money, but are definitely worthwhile. In part three, episode number 21 of the Dollars and Cents show, I talked about how you can research possible career choices or college majors and gave you lots of places to go start doing your research. And in this final part, episode number 22, I'm going to talk about how to pick a college, some of the important things I've learned by going through the process twice with my two daughters. So I hope you find this helpful. You can find the show notes over at dollarsandcentsshow.com, episode number 22, Picking a College. There are really kind of two different ways I realized that kids pick colleges. One is some apply to lots of colleges, and then in their senior year, they go visit the few, or that hopefully a handful, that they were got into. That's one way to do it. And that's pretty typical if you live in one corner of the country and it's hard to travel or it's hard to get out, so you don't want to waste a lot of time traveling to places to find out you didn't want to go there or you weren't going to get accepted. So I have a friend whose daughter did that. They lived down in Arizona. She applied to about 10 schools. She was accepted into about three or four of them, and that's when they went and traveled and visited them. Okay, and then she had to pick a college after the traveling and the visiting. That's one way to do it. I did it the other way. We did it where we did a lot of research first, and that's the kind of stuff I'm going to talk to you about, research in colleges, and started narrowing the list and said, okay, who do you want to go visit? And each of my daughters visited four, five, six schools and then applied to only the ones where they thought they were going to go. So they didn't apply to very many schools at all. Matter of fact, one daughter only applied to one school. Kind of made me nervous. I said, don't you think you should apply to another one? And she said, why? I know this is where I want to go, after visiting about four or five colleges. So those are the two different approach. And again, we went with the visit first, then apply to only the ones you really want to go to. I started when my daughters were pretty young, though, like even junior high or early high school, and I started asking friends and parents of kids who were going off to college some questions. I asked them really two questions. Why did your student pick this college? What was important to them? it and what mattered to them in picking this college, and then what was their second or third choice colleges. See, because what I was doing when my kids were, like I said, even junior high or early high school, was I was building a mental list. It could be a physical list if you want, but I was building a mental list of colleges that students went to, and basically students of my friends. Now, there were times I remember asking one student, why did your son choose this college? It was a college within my state, not too far away, so it was a possibility for my daughter. And she said, well, because he got a baseball scholarship there. Well, I could just scratch that one off the list because baseball scholarships were not going to happen for my daughter, okay? Another friend told me her daughter chose a particular college because her husband went to this college, she went to this college, you know, basically the child was kind of a legacy. This college was also like 10 hours away in the South. Well, that probably was not going to be the reasons why my daughter was going to pick a school either. So what you'll find out is that you'll start discerning, well, who's making decisions like I'm going to make decisions, like, or what's important to my child. So if you know somebody who went to study engineering and you think your student's interested in engineering, you ask that parent, why did your son pick the college he picked and what was his second and third choice? So first thing in picking a college, start asking you, mom and dad, your peers, or those students who just went to college. And I'll tell you, the best time to do this is at graduation parties. So next round of graduation parties, start doing that. And start talking to the parents, and they will tell you a lot. They will tell you a lot about schools, and you will start discerning how they made their decisions. It's really, really helpful. The second thing that is pretty helpful, and I spent quite a few hours doing this, is looking at college review websites. There's tons of them out there. I'll put a list of some of them. Some of the ones I used aren't there anymore. They kind of turn over pretty quickly. But there's lots of review sites out there, and some of them give just, you know, kind of an ABC ranking. The ones that I found that were most valuable actually had rankings and comments from students and alumni who went there. So this can be very helpful to get you an idea of what's going on at the school. Now, I will tell you that you have to read especially the student comments with a huge grain of salt. Understand that some kids were sent to school by their parents and they hated it, and their reviews show that. So read the negative, especially the bitter reviews, with an understanding that you don't know the whole story behind it, okay? But read them. And just because you want to go, and your student wants to go into this with their eyes wide open. So when I would read a negative review, and also keep in mind, if you see 10 positive reviews and one negative, don't let that one negative outweigh the fact that there were 10 positives. But occasionally I'd show this to my daughters and I'd say, hey, look at this school you're looking at is being accused of being this way. Can you live with that? Or do you think that's just someone's personal gripe? So read college review websites. They're college review books too. Go to the library and start reading those. And you can start eliminating a lot of schools that way. And you can start discerning what makes people decide to pick a college one way or another. I also found collegeboard.com to be a very helpful website. Now, College Board, they're the people who administer, I believe it's the SAT or ACT. Can't remember right now. It's been a few years. But anyway, what they do is they have a wonderful vehicle where you can put in what kind of filters are important to you. So, for example, if you live in the Midwest and your student wants to stay in the Midwest, like my daughters did, you can check a box and say, I want the Midwest. You know, one of my daughters absolutely did not want an urban environment. So you do not check that. You say, I want suburban or out in the country. You know, what size. And one of my daughters, it was really important to her that the SAT scores of the incoming students be in a certain range. So she wanted an academically challenging school, and she determined that looking for high average SAT scores of the freshman class was one way to filter out schools that were not academically challenging enough to satisfy her. So that was a good filter, and collegeboard.com lets you filter on these, and you can build a kind of a database, kind of a list of different colleges. Then you can go research those colleges, read about them on the college review sites, and things like that. The other thing that was really helpful was looking, and I mentioned it in the previous podcast, was looking at the college course guides. So once you've found a few colleges you want to go think about, and this is all online research at this point, you've asked friends, you've visited review sites, you've visited College Board, now you go into the college's website itself, and you're starting to read things like course guides for the major that they've picked, showing that to the student. And the student obviously can do a lot of this research themselves, but since mom and dad are the ones paying for it, they're probably the ones doing some research. And you also want to probably look at the student handbook, okay? Which is kind of the rules that they need to live by. I also remember spending a lot of time looking at the dorms, and sometimes it was kind of hard to discern whether the dorms were co-ed or not, or how co-ed, or we looked at even like the layout of the rooms and, you know, things like that about colleges. So look at the student handbook, especially if they have some guidelines. Try to discern, can my student live with these guidelines? Okay, and when you get on campus, you'll need to ask about those questions again. For example, one of the colleges my daughter was seriously considering was probably her number two or number three. She did not go there, but it was number two or three. It had a dress code when you were on campus and also had curfew. You had to be in your room at a certain time. And, you know, it was funny because we talked about that just recently, and she said, you know, she knows a student going to this college, and after 3 years, this curfew and this dress code is really starting to annoy the student. But I said, well, yeah, don't you remember when we went on the visit, they talked about that? And my daughter said, no, I really don't remember talking about it, because maybe at the time, the student isn't picking up on the fact that curfews and dress codes exist. Maybe it's downplayed a little bit, and you have to read the student handbook to figure that out. Maybe they don't talk about it very much on your college visit, which is something I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, the importance of a college visit. So anyway, read the college course guides to see what classes your student will be taking, and then read the student handbooks to see what kind of things they might have to live with. I'm going to share a few more tips that I have, particularly college visits and a lot of things I learned by going on the college visit, after a short little break here. I'll be right back.
More than 50% of teenagers were unemployed last summer. Are you a teenager who needs some money but can't find a job? You can earn money by starting a business, and Micro Business for Teens will show you how. You'll learn how to come up with a great idea, test it, and avoid common pitfalls. Discover the secrets to success, put into action what you learn, and before long, you'll be raking in the profits. Check out Micro Business for Teens website for ideas and profiles of teenagers who are running their own micro businesses. Visit microbusinessforteens.com and get started earning money today.
Okay, this is Carol Topp. I'm back with the fourth part of a four-part series on career exploration for high school students. And in this one, I'm kind of wrapping up by talking about picking a college. And I've talked about how my daughters went about picking colleges, which is where we visited a lot of colleges first during the summer of their junior, after their junior year of high school, before their senior year, or even some the summer in between sophomore and junior year. But anyway, we visited colleges. But I started first by researching colleges, and I started by asking a lot of friends. I went on a lot of college review sites. I used collegeboard.com. And we started looking, obviously, at the college's websites as we started narrowing things down. But I have to say, one of the most important things was the college visit. And I want to give you a few tips and what I've learned through my experience of visiting, oh, probably now 10 colleges between my two daughters. One is that, obviously, you need to do your research ahead of time, and you need to understand that the admissions office has a certain face that they put on the college, and all that's very helpful, that's not all there is to college life. So here's a couple tips I have. First of all, read the statement of faith if you're sending your child to a Christian school, and your child needs to know if they can live with this or not. It's a little bit like I said before the break, to read the student handbook and ask if they can live with these rules or not. But the statement of faith. One college that my daughter visited had a statement of faith that I believe was 4 pages long, quite detailed theologically. And if you disagreed with any part of the statement of faith, you had to initial that paragraph and explain why you disagreed with it. So one of my daughter's friends went to that college, and when we asked her about this four-page statement of faith, she said, well, there were about 2 points that I said I really didn't have a firm conviction on these 2 points of theology, so I couldn't in good conscience say I agreed with them wholeheartedly, and that's what I had to explain so I could be admitted. Now, whoa, I just kind of looked and thought, whoa, I mean, what 18-year-old has all this theology figured out, let alone can write a paragraph about why they differ? So just know that going in. Know that going in, can you agree to this statement of faith that they have? Or is it short enough or general enough that, yeah, I have no problem with it? Okay, because most Christian schools come from some kind of faith heritage, some kind of denominational background, and you just need to be aware of that, because that's definitely going to come through in what the professors teach and the leaning that they have. Okay, I found another really helpful thing was to grab a copy of the student newspaper. And if there's an underground newspaper and you can somehow get a copy of that, do that as well. Now, sometimes the student newspapers are online, and so you should be reading a few issues maybe before you go to campus and afterwards. And while my daughter's been in college, I've really enjoyed reading their college newspapers, because I find out what's going on campus and can kind of keep in touch with my students' lives that way. So I either get online and read the student newspaper or subscribe to it. I had one of the newspapers mailed to me for a year before they upgraded their online student newspaper. So read the student newspaper. See what kind of things are going on. See if that's fits the kind of school that you're looking for your student and of course ultimately what they're looking for, but do that. So educate yourself. You know, and when you're, of course, you're on the college visit, be careful not to make judgments about the college based on the friendliness or abilities of the tour guide. One of the tour guides we had was absolutely marvelous, and he just did such an excellent job at explaining both the philosophy of the college as well as the personal benefits he received from it. He kind of sold me. And I had to remember, okay, hey, by the time my daughter gets to this college, this tour guide's not going to be there because he's going to graduate. So don't let that bias you too much, either for or against. Don't let the weather bias you too much for or against. My daughter went to college in Western Pennsylvania, where they have about 4 days of sunshine during the school year. Well, we visited during the summer when they have lots of sunshine, and it biases us in favor of the college campus. See, if you visit in the summer, the weather's usually pretty good. It's not during the school year. There's a lot of snow and rain in Western Pennsylvania, and also there are no students there. So you might do your initial visits, I get that, during the summer because that's when your student's available. But if this is really going to be a serious college choice, make sure you go back when students are there. And make sure you allow a little time to sit down and talk to students. Just, you have to be a little bold and tell your students you're going to embarrass the heck out of them, but you're going to go talk to students. So I remember standing in line because we also, at the cafeteria, food service there on the college campus that day. You know, I remember standing in line next to a student. It was during the school year, and I said, what's the food like here? I ask that of every place I go. I try to find a student and ask him what the college dorm food is like. And he was very polite. He said, well, I can almost always find something to eat that I like. Oh, I thought that was a pretty good answer. So eat in the dorm. Eat in the college food service. Okay, don't eat, you know, in a restaurant nearby, because that's not going to be life for your student. Eat where your student will eat, and ask another student, what is the food like? The most important thing I found when making a college visit, outside of these little tips I've already shared, is if this is really a serious college, your child is really considering this seriously, they must stay overnight in the dormitory. Now, that gets very expensive and very time-consuming, because you'll probably have to get a hotel room. But you want your student to stay in the dorm room. And the reason is, your student will spend more time and be more influenced by what goes on in the dormitory than by what goes on in the college classroom. We have a tendency to be very concerned about what our students are hearing from their professors, and we fail to realize it's the influence of other students in their lives that may be more profound, and they may form lifelong relationships with. So you want those to be good. So, my daughters both stayed overnight in at least two, maybe three schools. And I want to share the story of a couple of them, and all of them came away saying, you know, it really gave me more of a real feel of what the college was like, not just what the admissions people tell me. So this one college we visited, I won't give the name because I don't want to bias people. This was Emily's particular decision. Obviously, a lot of students decide to go to that college, but it was in a northern state. And so a couple of things she observed: that the clothes in the closet were lots of sweaters and long sleeves. And yeah, my husband joked, yeah, you see, there were no sunglasses and flip-flops for sale in the college bookstore. Take a look at the college bookstore and see what they sell. It's a cold climate. She was going to have to realize that and get used to that. But what made her decision for her was she got in the car the next morning and she said, I'm glad we came, but I am not going to college here. And we said, what happened? You know, were the girls, you know, rude or mean? Oh, no, no. The girls that she stayed with were great. But it was the content of some of the papers that they were having to write, which were just, let's just say, a little extreme on the one side of the spectrum that Emily did not feel like she wanted to be a part of. That's all I'm going to say. But just let me say, it was very revealing when she actually heard the assignment for a 10-page paper that the student was working on, that she realized this school had definite leanings in their worldview in one strong direction. And the students there knew it. Emily, as a prospective student, was exposed to that when she stayed in the dorm. Okay. Also ask them, have your student ask the dorms, the students they're staying with, you know, what's it like on the weekend? Does everybody go home or are there events organized? Are the events only drinking, you know, or is there something else? So your student will pick up a lot from an overnight visit. And I also remember the day that we picked Emily up. Her college, the college she went to is Grove City College in Western Pennsylvania, Grove City, Pennsylvania. And I remember the day after we picked her up, she just had a light in her eyes and she said, I love this place. I could see myself here. And that was largely as a result of staying overnight. So I just strongly encourage that. Now, you might only do it for two or three schools at most because it is expensive and time consuming. But it's really important if your student is going to spend 4 years at a college that they spend one night. A friend of mine, her daughter visited the town where my second daughter goes to school, which is Taylor University in Indiana. And I found out later that instead of staying with my daughter, which she could have, my daughter's hosted a lot of girls in her dorm room, the prospective student stayed in the hotel with her parents. And I thought, what a mistake. Here you stayed at the hotel, but the daughter didn't stay in the dorm. What a mistake. I guess the daughter was kind of shy. Well, she's months away from going away to college. It's a really good idea to take time and stay in the dorm. Okay, I hope that's been helpful. Those are some of the tips I've learned about, you know, picking a college from my own experience, both, you know, online sorting through things, but actually during the college visit, some tips I've had. I tell you, if you want to get a lot more tips, you need to listen to Hal and Melanie Young's podcast on making college visits count. I'll put the link in the show notes, but you can go to ultimateradioshow.com. Their podcast is called Making Biblical Life Practical, and the episode is called Making College Visits Count. It was really an excellent episode. They come from a little different perspective. They talk about things like if your child's an athlete and stuff like that. But I think you'll find their podcast on Making College Visits Count, that's Helen Melanie Young's podcast, to be very helpful. So I hope you've enjoyed this four-part podcast on career exploration for high school students. If you did, be sure to pass it along in social media and put some comments on the page over at dollarsandcentsshow.com, episode number 22. I appreciate it very much and look forward to doing more podcasts with you here at the Dollars and Cents Show. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.